One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
It's all about the macro productions.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Keith Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Mumbai Gutapi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
Afrodita!
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you're watching us on Rockfin or Rumble or listening wherever podcasts are served, thank you so much. We appreciate the support. Have you bought the audiobook for The Controlled Demolition of the American Empire? Do you have that one written or narrated by Patrick Smith? Well, then add the newest book to the library. The Octopus of Global Control is now available as an audiobook. It's on Spotify and Audible and Amazon and iTunes and wherever you get audiobooks. So check it out. It's 23 hours. It is now available. If you've never read the book, it's the first book. I put it out in 2017. Check it out. It's well worth your time. Thanks to our sponsors. They make this show happen. We could not do it without them. EMP Shield just got the best advertisement for their services ever with that recent solar flare situation. Look, I hope you don't need it, but if you do, there is a company out there that makes a device that you can install on your car, on your home, on your boat, RV, or generator. If you've got any of those things sitting around, you can install it yourself, like a type 2 surge protector. You can watch some installation videos. It's pretty self-explanatory if you're handy. It's many times more efficient than a single-use military design. It can handle up to 40 EMP strikes. Hopefully you don't need it, but you know, it works against EMPs, solar flares, lightning strikes, all that stuff. I'll tell you what, best thing to do, if you're interested, go to empshield.com and read about what they're doing over there. And if you find something that you like, the discount code on the way out is macro, and that will most definitely save you some money. Also, thanks to the folks at Legal Shield. They've been doing this for 50 years in the United States and Canada. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, and they will get you an attorney in your area for $1 a day. I swear to God. 30 bucks a month will get you in. It is the best money you'll ever spend, especially if you are somebody that has not yet taken care of all these damn legal documents that you have sitting around. You hear me talking about it like a lunatic, saying you've got to have your last will and testament. You just have to. You cannot get yourself in a situation where you die and then the state gets involved in your affairs. I cannot think of a scenario that's worse than that. I mean, you're not even around to deal with it. Your family has to deal with it. Oh God, but it's so disgusting and gross. But you can prevent it. You can absolutely make sure that you knock out your last will and testament, your financial directive, your medical power of attorney. All those things can be taken care of in one visit to your lawyer's office. If you are a member of Legal Shield, you're going to get an app on your phone. You can push the button on the app. It'll say, what do you need? And you say, I need these drop-down menu. Legal documents. Great. Which ones? Click the box. There's a checkbox. Last will and testament. Medical directive. Financial. Click, click, click. Boom. Send. Great. An attorney in your area will reach out to you in 24 hours or less. You go, okay. And then you just wait. And then your phone rings. Hey, it's Susie down the street at this law firm that you've never heard of before. Yeah, we're a Legal Shield partner. Got your message. When are you available? Let's get you in this week. I'll tell you what you need. You need to bring all these documents and we'll just knock this out. I mean, you can take care of it in a day. You really honestly can. But you got to make the decision, man. It's got to be up to you. So go to the website that they built specifically for this show, www.don'tgetpushedaround.com, and read up for yourself. See what you think. They have the Legal Shield program. They have ID Shield. They have a small business plan. If you run a small business, if you carry a gun, they have documentation to support that. There's a lot happening over there. Don'tgetpushedaround.com is the place to go to find that. Like with all of the sponsors and all of this stuff, the links are in the show notes and also at the website macroaggressions.io. There's a partners page. You can just find everything that you need there. Click it. If you're driving around, I don't expect you to be writing this down. There will not be a test again. Boy, this is going to be a weird one. It's going to be a relevant one, I'll tell you for sure, but it's going to be a weird topic. There's been a lot of focus lately with what's going on in the Middle East on the deep state. I mean, we talk about it quite a bit here. There's factions, you know, it's not just one size fits all brand of insanity over there. I mean, there's different flavors and languages, and one group wants this, and one group believes in this god, and the other group believes in this other god. They want world domination. They're willing to work together to an extent, but they have different ideologies, right? And so what happens when you start talking about the American deep state is that, you know, it's not one size fits all. It's not one brand that just covers it all. I mean, lately we have been getting involved in and talking a lot about the Zionist influence, and it's very real and super dangerous and extremely prevalent in America, well, and beyond, but especially in the United States. I mean, you just see it. You see it every time a politician steps in front of a microphone. You feel like you're just like, when I hear Lindsey Graham speak, you know what I hear? I hear the Mossad has pictures of me having sex with a child. That's what I hear. That's the only thing that's coming out of his mouth to me. So we talk about that, and we should talk about it, and we will continue to talk about it. But again, it's not the only group out there operating. And when we did an episode a couple of months ago on Operation Condor, that and Operation Condor was technically, I think it was like it started in like the late 60s. It was basically all of the 70s in South America in general, Argentina and Chile in particular, but not limited to them. You started to see the involvement of the CIA, you know, in regime change operations, which is not totally unexpected. But one of the things that you saw that was interesting was the emergence and the connection to the Roman Catholic Church. The Vatican was deeply involved in Operation Condor, which is never a good thing, but their fingerprints were all over it. And so, you know, it made me sort of want to go down that path a little bit about the role of the Catholic deep state in what's going on in the world too, because we talk about the Zionist deep state, and we should, but there's other factions as well. And when you see what was done in the name of the church with the authorization of the church in South America, it's disgusting and reprehensible, of course. And if you think that the Catholic Church is some organization that's about love and compassion, I mean, you're fucking delusional. You're just delusional. I mean, maybe the local priest down, you know, at the church that you go to or is a good guy who's, you know, who you think is on the up and up. And maybe he is. Sure, I'm sure he is. And maybe, hopefully he is.
But the Catholic Church as a deep state operation is extremely dangerous. In this idea, I mean, listen, they will reunite you with your creator if you get on the wrong side of them, if you know what I mean. I mean, there is a long, long history of this, going back thousands of years of them murdering people. I mean, there are two institutions in this world that are responsible for more death and destruction than any: the state and the church. Okay. Nobody's murdered more people in the 20th century than the state. Nobody's murdered more people over the course of humanity than the church. So any sort of farcical belief that the church is there as the moral high ground, you need to reevaluate that. The church is in no position to take a moral high ground on anything. When you're the leading cause of death on the planet for 1,000+ years, you're not allowed to tell us what to believe. You're not allowed to tell us who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. You're not allowed to pretend like you don't have a massive problem with child molestation. You're not allowed to pretend like you're not involved in human trafficking, because you are. We're going to get into all of this, okay? And look, full disclosure, I'm not religious, so it's easier for me. I mean, I'm not bogged down by my ideology or my religious beliefs that get in the way and cloud my judgment on this. I have no love or respect for any of the churches, any of the organized religion. Find peace and security wherever you can. But if you're looking for it at an organized church service, like, don't act surprised if you're left disappointed. And I'm not saying that every group is trafficking. I'm not saying that your local church is trafficking kids. I mean, unless you're in Hollywood. But I am saying that the Catholic Church has paid $4 billion to settle child sexual abuse allegations. Well, more than allegations. Child rape. They've paid $4 billion to pay off people for raping their children. Let's call it what it is. They paid the fine for getting busted raping kids. That's the Catholic Church. Not limited to the Catholic Church. Got a lot of problems with the way the rabbis like to suck the blood off of the circumcised dicks of little kids. That's definitely not normal and super weird. But we're not talking about them in this episode. We'll get to dick sucking rabbis in another episode, I assure you. But that's just not this one. There's always room for that, I suppose. But the relationship that you see, this one's going to be, we're going to stick sort of on the Catholic side of things, in the relationship that you see between the Vatican and the intelligence networks of the world is very troubling. Not surprising, but it should be very alarming to a lot of people. And the Vatican and the United States intelligence agencies built their bonds during World War II through Wild Bill Donovan, who is one of the founders of the OSS, and Pope Pius XII during World War II. In fact, World War II is still going on. They're building this relationship together. It still exists now. But the American intelligence agency was getting a lot of intel from the church. And they can, and they should. I mean, they should have been looking there because there was a lot of activity happening. The Vatican was trying to play both sides of this, kind of like sort of like Switzerland did. You know, like, oh, we're neutral. We're here in Switzerland. We're totally neutral as we run the banks that finance all this. And the Vatican were like, you know, for those that don't know, Vatican City. I mean, I don't know how you don't know this, but Vatican City is like a city-state. There's three of them. There's Vatican City in Rome. It's in the middle of Rome, Italy. There's this little walled-off area that doesn't apply. The laws of society don't apply there. That the it's its own city-state. It's Vatican City inside Rome. Much in the same way Washington, D.C. is inside the United States, and the city of London, not to be confused with London itself, but the city of London banking haven city-state is also in operating in London. A fourth, I would say there's a fourth city state jurisdiction like this that doesn't get mentioned. Maybe because they don't have a big ass obelisk in front of them like the others do. But let's not forget about the Bank of International Settlements, because the Bank of International Settlements is the smallest city state in the world. Next time you get into a trivia question and someone wants to stump you with Liechtenstein, drop Bank of International Settlements on them and win every debate. So, but the Vatican was deeply involved because they had this sort of city state designation. They kind of said, listen, we're not involved in this war. And of course, during World War II, you have to understand that Italy is now considered to be, part of the United States Empire, right? Western Europe, Western values, all that stuff. Italy during World War II is fascist, right? And Italy has always been known to have very wishy-washy political views, meaning easily changed. In fact, when Operation Gladio first got its start, when the first job the CIA ever pulled was making sure that the Italian elections were rigged in their favor, because they were afraid that it was going to go communist in like 47, I think. And then Operation Gladio was the first thing that the CIA used with when they were putting together Gladio, which later was rolled into NATO, was that they were using terror campaigns inside of Italy to scare the shit out of people into voting against the Communist Party. And so Operation Gladio came out of that. And the CIA's very first job, the very first gig that they pulled, the first regime change, election interference gig that the CIA was involved in, was actually in Italy, making sure that their elections went a certain way. And part of that had to do with the fact that the OSS had a relationship with the Vatican and had for a couple of years. I'm not suggesting that it didn't start before World War II, but they really cemented it in 1944 when Bill Donovan and the Pope got together and started setting up this information network where they could leak info out to the Americans, and the Americans could do with that info what they needed to do. Which was interesting, because while the Pope is dealing with Bill Donovan at the OSS, they are simultaneously furnishing Nazis with 50,000 Vatican passports. They are even giving them, in some cases, clerical robes to help them evade justice. They're basically disguising them as priests and moving them out the back door and moving them through their networks and their rat lines out into South America. When you hear about the Nazis that wound up in South America, in Argentina, in Bariloche, and places like that, and you go, how the fuck did they get out? I mean, in the middle of all that chaos, they were able to get out of Germany while the world was searching for all of these not high-ranking Nazis. How were they able to get out? Well, they were able to get out because of the Vatican. I mean, that's how they got out. And the Pope was deeply involved in making that happen. So, you know, when you go, oh, you know, I'm a Catholic and I support the Pope, and I'm okay, just understand this. You can maybe things have changed, but just know that the Pope was a collaborator with Adolf Hitler and the Nazis. And you can feel however you want about the Nazis. I mean, given what we've looked at over the course of history, you know, history needs to be reexamined, of course. But the role that the Vatican played with the SS is very real and should not be dismissed. But also the role that the CIA, later the CIA, the OSS at the time, played with the Vatican shouldn't be dismissed either. So you can see them playing both sides of this. And of course, they just throw their hands up and go, oh, we're just a church. We're just all about God. You know, we don't want to get in the middle of this. We're essentially Switzerland, but just with robes on. It's like, oh, bullshit. The hell you do. You guys have a Nazi mentality as well. It's just disguised a little differently. So don't give me this babe in the woods routine, Karen. I got the Pope on these wiretaps too. You're talking about drugs. You know what I mean? Like, don't pull that bullshit with us. Like, oh, we're just the church. We're not involved in any of this stuff. Deeply, deeply involved in all of it. Knee deep in it, right? But look, they've been, it's a delicate relationship. that the CIA and the Vatican have with each other. Over the years, they have the CIA cannot push too hard on this stuff. They would love to, but they can't. And there's an old saying, when the CIA goes to church, it's not to pray, right? And so you understand the power of this. You can logically connect those dots. If you're the CIA, you would want to go where, who's got the best intel network in the world? The Vatican. I mean, you've got people all over the world spying for you, getting your customers to get in a darkened room and tell you their deepest, darkest secrets. Oh, holy shit. You know what I mean? Like, that's the greatest spy network you've ever created. Tell me and I'll tell God. What a racket. Oh, by the way, give me money. Tell me all the things you did wrong. I won't tell anyone, you know, except my boss, who will then tell the CIA. Tell me all the things that you did wrong. Give me money to bribe God. I can only talk to God. You can't talk to God. He's all-knowing, all-powerful, as Carlin says, just can't handle money, right? Give me money, and then I'll tell God that you're not as bad of a, you're not as big of a monster as you might think you are. Yeah, you cheated on your wife and beat your kids and cheat on your taxes and whatever, all that stuff. You tell me, and then pay a little bribe, and then I'll tell God, and we're going to be good. What a racket. I can't talk to the imaginary man in the sky, but this guy who's wearing a robe and fucking children can talk to the imaginary man in the sky. Why would he talk to you? Of all the people that God could talk to, why would he talk to you? You're a pedophile. He might want to talk to you when you're dead. He might want to be a conversation that is to be had in the afterlife when you have to explain how you justified raping children. But the fact that God only talks to certain people and those people happen to be pedophiles, the whole thing makes no sense to me. I'm sorry. It's hocus pocus as far as I'm concerned. It just really is. That's why in hypocrisy, one of the pillars of that book is religion. Because when you're talking about hypocrisy, you absolutely positively have to mention religion in it. No bigger hypocrites in the world than religious people, hardcore religious people. Let's move on. This is what I want to do. I want to talk about these groups specifically and talk about how they're related. These are groups that you'll know. We'll end with the Vatican, because that's one that you really know. But the lead up to the Vatican will get your attention. Let's start with Opus Dei. This is called the Holy Mafia. Opus Dei translates from Latin into God's work. I assure you, they're not doing God's work. I'm positive of that. If they're doing God's work, the question is, what kind of God are you serving? Right. This is a very, very dangerous group. Okay. Super radical, hardline Catholic fascists. Okay. Started in 1928, said to have 70,000 members worldwide. And listen, whenever you've got 70,000 members of any group, whether you're Opus Dei, whether you're Freemasons, whether you're whatever, inevitably you are going to have a pyramid structure of a bunch of people at the bottom that know very little. And as you move up the power structure, you will get to a elite group at the top that know a lot. And you will probably find that the people at the top that know a lot and the people at the bottom that know very little probably don't have a ton in common, actually. And the reason why some are at the top and some are at the bottom is because the ones at the top have proven that they are, that there's no line in the sand that they won't cross, that there's no morality check that they fail. You know, they're going to do what needs to be done. And listen, there's a ton of interlocking in this Venn diagram of evil with the Knights of Malta. We're going to get to them afterwards. We'll mention them. But if you see somebody that is a high-ranking member of Opus Dei, there's a pretty good chance they're a high-ranking member of the Knights of Malta as well. The information about Opus Dei is pretty well hidden. You know, you're not going to find, like an English printed article on them in Vanity Fair or the New Yorker, or, you know, nobody's going to write like the tell-all piece on Opus Dei in Time Magazine or anything like that. I found an article about them, about the only article I was able to find from a mainstream publication, came out in like 1983. But aside from that, it's tough to get good information on Opus Dei. It's like the church within the church inside the Vatican. You know, these are religious zealots. These are religious terrorists. This is the real mafia. Like the mafia of this, the church mafia. But their role came out in Operation Condor. I think people started to put them sort of on the map, because their role within Operation Condor, it was undeniable. They were the ones that were, I mean, they were involved in death squads. This is not very churchly, right? 1,500 priests, nuns, and bishops were imprisoned, beaten, expelled from the country, or just thrown from helicopters during Operation Condor. And this was at the direction of the church. Church was involved. Church and the CIA. So it's a dangerous group. They're involved in politics. They're involved in banking. They're involved in business. They are military officials. They are students. They are media. Again, so when you're talking about students, when I say there's 70,000 members, and then I mentioned that there's a bunch of students, well, that's the farm team. That's the minor league club. That's the AAA team, right? Let's see how many of these dum-dums we can convince, to believe absurdities. And let's see how many of these people have a soul. Let's see how many of these people have some moral line in the sand that they won't cross. If they won't cross it, well, then we don't need them. So you're not going to move up the food chain here. Members that we know of, Otto von Habsburg, he's a Le Cercle founder. We'll get to them. Pope John Paul II, he was fucking installed by Opus Dei, so he's a member. William Colby, William Barr, Newt Gingrich. Remember when Newt Gingrich said that Donald Trump was going to have a hard time? I put this in the Octopus book. He said this in 2016, end of 2016, after Trump had been elected, but before he'd been inaugurated. He said, Donald Trump is going to have a hard time in Washington, D.C. He's not a part of the club. He's not a part of the secret societies. This is what he meant. This is what Newt Gingrich meant. And Newt Gingrich would know, because he is a member of the secret societies. He's a member of Opus Dei. That's what he's talking about when he says Trump's going to have a hard time. He did have a hard time. I'm not trying to say that. You know how I feel about Trump. You ever see the Dan Brown movies? Crazy self-flagellating guys that with the whips and the chains and doing all that stuff? That's Opus Dei shit right there. If you're wondering who those guys are. And I haven't seen the Da Vinci Code. I haven't read the books or seen any of that stuff. I heard early on that it was just like straight up Vatican propaganda. So I never went down that path. But if you see that weird stuff, that a lot of that is sort of okay. Let's move on. Let's move on to the Knights of Malta. Sovereign Military Order of Malta is sort of their brand name now. This was a group that was formed in 1099. They have been around for quite a while. Business, banking, government, Catholic Church military arm, United States intelligence agencies, the United Nations is connected, the CIA is connected. The best way to describe the Knights of Malta, and I'm going to read off a list of all the, not all of them, but a bunch of names that you would recognize, but it's a Roman Catholic military religious order and secret society. What's interesting about it is that it has changed recently. And when I start listing off some of the names, you'll know. We've talked about this not too long ago, about how they've taken a very Zionist turn as well, which is weird because you're really kind of not supposed to be a part of this. But listen, when you want to put world, when your goal is a world government, you know, when you're trying to reform the Holy Roman Empire and your Zionist buddies are trying to build the Greater Israel Project, maybe you guys can team up on it, right? We'll take Western and Central Europe and you take the Middle East. I don't know. Just a thought. The Pope approves the appointment of the head of the world head of the Knights of Malta. So that's a decision that is made. You are installed by the Pope. So again, any sort of like, well, you know, they're not a totally associated with the Catholic Church. I mean, they're sort of like the Pope picks the head of the Knights of Malta. So let's just get that out in the open. 13,500 members, deep state ghouls, military information terror complex group, intel guys, media, banking. So here's the rules. No Jews, no Muslims, no Protestants allowed. That's what they say, right? And then they get these sort of like special exemptions that it's like, well, we're not going to make you a full member. We're going to make you kind of like a, I don't know, maybe we'll make you wear a yellow star. I don't know exactly what they're doing, but for a group that says no Jews, certainly are a lot of Jews in their group, if you know what I mean. Before I get to the known members here, the current Pope Bergoglio, Pope Francis is his name. You know this guy, right? He's the guy who would pick the head of the Knights of Malta now. So do you think he'd be good at picking leaders? Well, he was. If you remember what the Pope's role was, I mean, do you remember his background? Because he's Argentinian. He's not Italian, and he has a very dark history of Operation Condor. He was very much involved in that. In fact, he made his bones by running the operation from the church standpoint in Argentina during the Dirty War. So he ratted out which priests were going along and which nuns weren't going along and which people were giving his apparatus a hard time, and then they were thrown out of helicopters or imprisoned or whatever, definitely tortured. And we've done a whole thing on this School of the Americas with the torture factory that the United States set up down there, set it up in Fort Benning, Georgia, but then had a facility in South America that they used as a sort of like a satellite campus for School of the Americas, and they would torture the shit out of people down there. And Bergoglio was involved in that, right? So, and one of the things that they did, they said that he was trying to root the Freemasons out of the Knights of Malta. Good luck with that, because I mean it's filled with them. This is how the Knights of Malta was described by a former Grand Master, Grand Wizard. Grandmaster, I don't know what they call them. Grand Masters there. I mean, I like to think of them as Grand Wizards, but that's up to you. This is what he said. On the one hand, and he, by the way, I don't know how many hands this guy has. On the one hand, it's a sovereign entity. On the other hand, it's a religious order. On the other hand, it's a humanitarian organization. It's a complicated mixture of things. Can we talk about the fact that this guy thinks that everyone has three hands? Maybe we are talking about aliens. I don't know. Known members of this group. Well, let's start with two guys that were known members of Knights of Malta. And this is in no way sort of, I'm not ranking them in terms of their prominence inside the group, but I found this to be kind of interesting. Do you remember the Rolling Stone article that Michael Hastings wrote and then his car magically blew up? Do you remember who he was critical of in those articles? He was critical of two different people, Stanley McChrystal and William McRaven, both members of Knights of Malta. I just found that very interesting, right? That you start writing articles about how these guys are screwing up the Iraq situation, and then all of a sudden, the CIA takes control of the controls of your car and drives you into a tree at 110 miles an hour. And we know that that's possible because of the Vault 7 leaks showing that the CIA had that technology at that time. And so when you write articles about American military generals that are also Knights of Malta, they murder you. And that's what happened to Michael Hastings. So keep that in mind. When you go, are these really dangerous people? Well, King Leopold II of Belgium was a known member of the Knights of Malta, and he murdered 10 million Africans, okay, in Congo when the Belgians took over. So, I'm not saying that Stanley McRaven or Stanley McChrystal and William McRaven murdered 10 million Africans, but they were involved in the murder of a million Iraqis. So this is a murder factory. The Knights of Malta run it. Frank Sinatra was a member, intel agent. Bob Zelick, PNAC Zionist. George Tenet, director of the CIA from 1996 to 2004. George Tenet, the director of the CIA from 1996 to 2004, you say? What happened right in the middle of that? 9/11. Oh, hang on. So the director of the CIA during 9/11 is a Knight of Malta? Good to know. I mean, next thing you know, you're going to tell me that Henry Kissinger was, the actual devil was a Knight of Malta. He was. He's one of those guys that get the special exemption. A lot of these guys, so Bob Zelick, right? Ronald Reagan was a member. Mussolini, of course he was. Reinhard Gehlen, head of the Gehlen organization, an actual Nazi. Otto von Habsburg, Laserkell founder, Opus Dei, Knights of Malta. Wherever you see Otto von Habsburg, you're about to see some global government stuff going on there. Alan Dulles was a member, Deep State scumbag. Michael Chertoff was a member. He's a PNAC Zionist, Department of Homeland Security, dancing Israelis. Guys, you remember Michael Chertoff, don't you? He's the guy responsible for putting all the backscatter scanning devices in the airports. He was the head of the Department of Homeland Security, and then he made it so that all the airports had to go to the screening devices for the passengers, and wouldn't you know it, the screening devices for the passengers was a company that he owned. But again, I'm sure that's a huge oversight. Must have been the same kind of oversight that allowed him to let the five dancing Israelis go back to Israel, too. But I'm sure that's a coincidence because Michael Chertoff is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen. So mistakes were made, obviously. William Colby, when he's not busy getting thrown out of a window, was a member of the Knights of Malta. Also his buddy William Casey. They're the same person to me. They're both members of this very, very elite club. 13,500 members, and maybe not as elite as I maybe made it out to be. But again, it's that pyramid structure. You know, the people at the top that are really running things probably know a whole lot more than the people at the bottom. Mark Carney, banker, Bank of England, World Economic Forum, scumbag, he's a member. Jeb Bush, because he's loyal, controllable, and generally retarded, he's a good, useful operative. George H.W. Bush. Now we're talking. In my opinion, one of the top 10 most dangerous people of the 20th century. A scumbag of the highest order. Not surprising that he's a Knight of Malta, along with John Bolton, a PNAC Zionist maniac. William F. Buckley, a CIA TV personality. James Jesus Angleton, the CIA super spook who ran the CIA's Vatican desk. He was a member. So we're talking about some dangerous people. Got the names that you would recognize. Some of them still alive, some of them not. And if somebody, you know, if you come across somebody that is a member of this group, you know, you don't fill out the membership application for the Knights of Malta, right? They come find you. You don't find them. If you're in a position of power, you're some intergenerational banking family that has a lot of money, they'll find you. But you and I are not getting invited to be a member of this club. Not that we would want to. Let's move on. Here's a group that I keep talking about like a broken record, but no one, you know, seemingly nobody else is talking about them. Laserkell, the Circle. There's more overlap in Europe with this extremely dangerous group than there is in North America, But that's only because it started in Europe and it had about a 12-year head start before it then migrated, and they created sort of like a secondary location for it in the United States. And that was run, once they decided to do that, they said, well, listen, we'll have the meetings every year in Europe, but then maybe every other year we'll have a meeting in the US, or we'll have two meetings a year, one in Europe and one in the US. And the person that was in charge of running, you know, starting basically the European or the American version of this was Ted Shackley, who, if you listen to my Masterminds of 9/11 episode, Ted Shackley is one of the five masterminds of 9/11. So when I talk about this group being extremely dangerous, that's why. When the guy who started the American franchise of Les Cercles is Ted Shackley, then you know it's a dangerous group by default, because he was running the Southeast Asia secret bombing campaigns that Kissinger was authorizing in during the Vietnam War, when we dropped more bombs on Southeast Asia than all of World War II combined times two. That was at the direction that those covert bombing raids were being carried out by Ted Shackley as a founding U.S. member of Les Cercles. And I mentioned Otto von Habsburg. He was one of the founders. He was a founding member, Roman Catholic, running Opus Dei. They say that Otto von Habsburg was basically running Opus Dei. I don't doubt it. Knights of Malta as well. He's CIA connected. He's the eldest son. If you go, Otto von Habsburg, who the fuck sounds like royalty? Yeah, he's the eldest son of the last emperor of Austria-Hungary. He's from the Habsburg family. Like, this is one of those multi-generational royalty families. It's still around for some reason. We still have kings and queens. Can you imagine that? Holy shit. Like, where are we? The Middle Ages? This is crazy. Extremely dangerous, right? He was a founder of something called the European Documentation and Information Center. CEDI is the acronym for it, 1952. And he called this his circle of friends. Circle of friends, Les Cercles, the circle. And the major contributing groups to this came from Germany, Austria, and France, which isn't too much of a surprise when you've got von Habsburg, who is the eldest son of the last emperor of Austria and Hungary, right? If you have a map and you understand where these places are, it's not too much of a stretch to understand that they would focus on Germany, Austria, and France. And that's where Les Cercles comes from, its roots. But it's not limited to that. And again, the Knights of Malta and Les Cercles both made this same pivot recently. Maybe they made the pivot against their better judgment or even against their will, but they've let the Zionists in. You shouldn't, but you did. I mean, especially if you're running like a Catholic specific organization, you should just tell these guys, you've got your own stuff going on. Like, mind your own business. Like, let's keep them out. But maybe you can't. Maybe at some point you can't, because when I go through this list again of, and I've read through the names of members of Les Cercles before, but when you hear it, you're going to go, Jesus. I mean, it's every bit as bad as you would think it would be. It's Benazir Bhutto, World Economic Forum. She got whacked in the Pakistani prime minister. She got murdered in broad daylight. Richard Armitage, PNAC Zionist. John Bolton, PNAC Zionist. William Casey of the CIA and George Bush's Enterprise. William Colby of the CIA and thrown out of a hospital window. We have Richard Nixon, definitely was a dangerous dude. Of course, you would have Richard Nixon because he was the president during Vietnam, and you had Ted Shackley, who was a founding member of Les Cirques of in the United States, running Nixon's covert CIA bombing campaign. So yeah, it all makes sense. You can see where these guys have this overlap between each other. David Rockefeller's on the list. No surprise there. General Norman Schwarzkopf was a member of Les Cirques. Paul Volcker, former Fed chairman, was on there. Alan Greenspan, former Fed chairman, both Zionists. Louis Free, head of the FBI, Zionist. Winston Churchill was a member. Big time scumbag. Henry Kissinger was a member of Les Cirques. Benjamin Netanyahu, obviously a hardcore bloodthirsty Zionist, along with Shimon Peres, both former prime minister. Well, I guess Netanyahu, current prime minister of Israel. Shimon Peres, former prime minister. Ted Shackley, as I mentioned. Margaret Thatcher, the pedophile protecting prime minister of the UK, was a member of the group. If you take a list of all of the Project for a New American Century Zionists that were in the Bush White House in 2001 that were involved in rebuilding America's defenses, the document that they put out in September of 2000, and they were also deeply involved in the actual planning and execution of 9/11, all of those guys are members of Les Cirques. So when I say that Les Cirques was involved in pulling 9/11, that's why. So it's weird because the Zionists have become very well represented in this conservative, Catholic, old money, Western European aristocracy group, which is Les Cirques. So, you know, be careful. Pretty soon, Les Cirques is going to be creating porn and circulating it, right? When you hear, like, who is the modern day version of Les Cirques, you may ask. You see some of these old names on here, like, you know, William Casey and William Colby and Richard Nixon and David Rockefeller, and these guys are all dead, right? Who's the new batch? How would you describe them? You could call them the peanut guys. You could also call them the 7 countries in 5 years people, because anyone who's calling for a war on terror, that term war on terror, that's Les Cirques. That's this group. That's this group of people that are calling for that. The group who did 9/11, who said, you know, this is a war on terror. It's a war of terror, of course, but when they talk about a war on terror, a war on a concept, interesting. If I didn't know any better, I'd say that a war on terror could go on theoretically forever, right? Which, of course, it can. So this is, again, it's the Holy Roman Empire, the reconstitution of that, if you can manage to put that together, in conjunction with the Greater Israel Project. They finance themselves by running weapons. This has always been definitely involved in running weapons. This is the group. This is involved in creating Al Qaeda. You know, the base. Al Qaeda translates to the base, and it doesn't mean the home base. It means the database. It's the database of Mujahideen freedom fighters that you can pick from. It's the list of buy your own army. Put your own army together. It's the list that Putin talks about. I've seen the list. He says, I've seen the list. I know how much each soldier costs. I know what it is. It's the list. Let's end with this. It's a big one. I save it for last, but when you are talking about the Catholic deep state, you got to talk about the Vatican and otherwise known as the Holy See. It is located in Rome, Italy. I have not been to the Vatican. I've dragged my ass around the airport in Rome before, but I have not been to the Vatican. It is the headquarters of the Roman Catholic Church, and it features what is described as, quote, the most secret bank in the world. Never a good thing. Never a good thing. Like I said, it's the second smallest nation state. And, you know, one of the things that it does, which I suppose is the whole point of having this designation, but they hide behind their sovereign immunity cloak for just about everything. What you want to see what's going on in our banks? We have sovereign immunity. You want to see what's going on with the pedophile problem? We have sovereign immunity. You want to know which pope is going? You want to know which cardinal's being relocated from where to where because he's got rape abuse allegation? We don't have to tell you anything, right? So, to the extent that they can cover it with sovereign immunity, they will. They will because they can. The reason why they have sovereign immunity is to use it, not to sit on it. They have a long-working, well-known relationship with the Nazis. We talked about that. A lot of the stolen loot was routed to the Vatican, be that artwork, collectibles, documents, stock certificates, bearer bonds, whatever, gold, priceless valuables. Some of it was taken to Switzerland and some of it was taken to the Vatican and some of it, you know, God knows where it went after that. So that's, you know, the Vatican has a long history of doing that, being involved with some of the worst people, really playing both sides of it, because at the same time that they were dealing with Hitler and Mussolini, they were also cutting deals with the OSS too. So that, you know, they're certainly not to be trusted. They obviously have a huge problem with pedophilia. Right. That's the big elephant in the Vatican, in Vatican City, that they don't want you to talk about. That they have paid $4 billion to settle rapes. And, you know, and that is a fraction of what should be paid out. That is the equivalent. They are the equivalent of the VAERS court with vaccines. You know, $4.2 billion has been paid out by the VAERS court to settle vaccine damage claims. And then the Harvard Pilgrim study of 2009 found, you know, only about 1% of the actual people ever get made whole on their vaccine claims, meaning 99% of the people never see any of that money. So really, if you're talking about $4.2 billion and that being 1%, the real number should be closer to $420 billion for the VAERS damage, if everybody that was damaged is being compensated. And I take that mentality and I put that and I overlay it on the Catholic Church, and also because the dollar payments are very similar too, $4 billion to $4.2 billion. So again, if the Catholic Church has paid out $4 billion to settle rape claims, how much damage was actually done? Because you saw, I don't know if you followed the amount of hoops that somebody has to jump through to get paid on either of those, whether the VAERS court or the Catholic Church. So the idea that we've only paid out $4 billion. You've only paid out $4 billion because you have fantastic lawyers. That number should be 100 times bigger. So they've got a problem with pedophilia. And then you get your number three cardinal busted in Australia for just mountains and mountains of pedophilia allegations against them. I think he wound up dead. Didn't he wind up dead at some point? There's a lot of relocation of pedophile priests, bishops, cardinals, all these things. That happens all the time. And sometimes they get whacked too. So you know that there's a line of thinking inside the church that is not too far distant from the line of thinking inside of intelligence agencies. And sometimes you need to tie up loose ends. And sometimes that's an analyst that has taken secret documents and released them without your knowledge. And sometimes it's a priest who is blabbed to the media about something that he shouldn't have blabbed about. And next thing you know, he's gone. So the Vatican takes care of business too, like a criminal syndicate. Many secrets in there. God, think about what's going on in the Vatican Library. Forget the bank. Who knows what's going on in the bank account? The estimates I saw, and I don't even know how they talk about it being the most secret bank in the world, but the estimates I saw, they said, well, the Vatican Bank has probably $10 billion in it. I was like, $10 billion in the Vatican Bank? I mean, I would add at least three or four zeros on the end of that. What are you talking, 10 billion? I was thinking like 10 trillion. You know what I mean? Like, they've been in business a long ass time. I mean, how much money does the Catholic Church have? I don't know. All of it at this point? I damn near close. The idea, look, oh, the Vatican Bank is sitting on $10 billion. Dude, Elon Musk has $10 billion in his checking account. Like, come on. The Vatican Bank has to have more than $10 billion in it. But again, how would we know? It is, quote, the most secret bank in the world. And nothing sketchy about that. I mean, listen, we love the Lord and the war. Lord loves all denominations, but, you know, he prefers 50s and 100s, clearly. Why was the Vatican's telescope named Lucifer? Anyone ever give me an answer on that? It's supposed to be some like acronym. You could have picked anything. An acronym is a bunch of words put together where you pick like the first letter of each of the words and you put it together and then it spells some other word. It's not supposed to spell Lucifer when you're the Vatican, okay? It's just not. Not unless you want people to ask questions about, oh, are you guys a bunch of blood-drinking Satanists in reality? The answer, of course, is yes. Yes, they are. Some of them. I don't know. Can we at least admit that it's weird that you name your telescope the Vatican's telescope, you name it Lucifer? It's weird. Don't do that. Not if you don't want people to ask questions. I have to clarify, the Vatican Bank is not called the Vatican Bank, by the way, just in case if you're ever out looking for it, and if you are, get a fucking hobby. I don't know. Institute for Works of Religion is the name of the bank. It's the official name. Dude, it's just a massive money laundering operation. You know that, right? In a tax-free haven, which I don't have a problem with it being tax-free. I mean, I think everything should be tax-free, but it is tax-free. And it is a massive money laundering operation. I mean, you Walter White would be impressed with the money washing that's going on in that Vatican Bank, otherwise known as the Institute for Works of Religion. So when your kid gets raped by a pedophile priest and they send you the check after you jump through all the hoops, it'll come from the Institute for Works of Religion, is my guess. That'll be the bank that account that it's drawn from. But that's just how much money do you suppose from human trafficking flows through that bank? What do you think over the 1,000 years that they've been doing business? I mean, here it's like God's BCCI, right? It's like the Bank for Crooks and Criminals International, Vatican style, right? Here's an interesting component to this bank. When they say it's the most secretive bank, I mean, part of the reason why they say that is that the first 70 years of its existence as the Institute for Works of Religion, it had a rule that every 10 years, all the bank records would be destroyed. Why? Can I ask the question? If you've got nothing to hide, you've got nothing to worry about, sort of thing. That the line of thinking that Janet Napolitano, when she was the head of DHS, would say, "Well, you've got nothing to worry about if we snoop through your emails, right?" But again, I feel it is a reasonable line of questioning. Hey, if you guys aren't up to no good, why are you destroying your records every 10 years? That seems like something you would do if you were running a criminal enterprise that you didn't want anybody to find out about, right? If you're running a bank that was on the up and up, you would keep those records for a long time to prove to anybody that ever needed to look at it that you are running a legitimate operation. But you know who destroys their records whenever they can? Criminals. And so my assumption, and it's an assumption because I cannot prove it at this point, but my assumption is that the Vatican Bank is a criminal enterprise, right? And I'm, you know, I mean, there's part of me that, boy, I have to talk about this because it just happened. It just happened a couple, you know, it happened recently. And I want you to put on your tinfoil hat for a second here, because it has to do with the Vatican and it has to do with aliens. And I want you to think about this from just what you know about the messaging of deep state liars and propaganda. And when you see the groundwork being formed for a much bigger lie, it's easy to recognize when you've been through some of these big lies before. You start to recognize the same patterns. You start to see information come out of seemingly out of left field that you just go, this is weird. Why are we talking about this now? And why are we talking about this now everywhere? Why is everybody talking about it now? You weren't talking about it a year ago. You're all just talking about it now. It seems very, I don't know, artificial and made to happen. So my question is, how deep into the fuckery is the Vatican, actually? Because on May 16th, 2024, they held a press conference. The Vatican held a press conference. And in that press conference, they discussed, this is the first time since 1978 that they've had this press conference, and they discussed UFOs, aliens, and apparitions. And I ask you, why now? Why? I mean, we're like almost 50 years after the last time you did it. I get suspicious. I get paid to be suspicious when I got nothing to be suspicious about, as Wilford Brimley's character said in The Firm. In this press conference, they said they wanted to put forth guidelines for how to, quote, deal with potential encounters in the future. Why? What are you guys working on? What do you know that we don't know? And to be clear, I don't believe that they know that there's, I don't know if they think there's aliens. When I see press conferences in advance, to me, this is a setup for something bigger. This is Project Bluebeam. It's like the setup for Bluebeam. What did Wernher von Braun say to Carol Rawson on his deathbed, allegedly? Don't, for the final one. First they said terrorism, and then plagues, and then a meteor, and then the final one was the fake alien invasion. Bergoglio, Pope Francis, when he's not busy throwing nuns out of helicopters or ordering nuns to be thrown out of helicopters, he is instituting what is called a, quote, open door policy to aliens. What do they know that they're not telling us? What is going on in the Library of the Vatican? That's what I want to know. Forget storm Area 51. Storm the Vatican. Put all those people in robes and handcuffs, you know, zip ties, and sit them up against the wall while you go through that library and find out what these people are hiding. That's what you should be doing. This is the Pope. Salvation from above. Salvation from above, you say? A message of salvation from above delivered by mass murdering Nazi collaborators in robes. Sorry, I'll pass. I'm not interested in your salvation from above. I don't know. Look, there's a lot going on. We don't need to worry about aliens so much. We have to worry about Opus Dei and Knights of Malta and Les Cercles and the Vatican and the human beings that are running the Vatican that are actually here. If we're about to have an alien invasion, whether it's fake or real, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But boy, when I hear the Vatican talking about open door policies and dealing with potential encounters in the future, my tinfoil hat gets a little bit tighter. Feels like a setup. What a time to be alive. Hey, if you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. Have you rated the show? If you think I've earned 5 stars, I certainly would appreciate it. I'm fighting this algorithm battle. I need all the help I can get. If you want to connect with me, the website, macroaggressions.io, is the best place to go for that. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you again soon.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.